everyone. Welcome to the Live Your Best Marriage podcast. I'm your host, Whitney Shio.
And I'm your host, Pesa Shio, Whitney Shio's husband.
And this is the place where we believe that every single marriage out there has a chance to be awesome and long-lasting.
Yes, at Live Your Best Marriage, we believe that every marriage has a chance to be awesome and also to be fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. And we just like to provide encouragement and support because we also think that pretty much everything can be figure-outable. Maybe not every single problem, but most problems.
Yes, if you have the right attitude and the right knowledge, you can pretty much figure out everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Once you decide you're committed, a lot of the rest takes care of itself.
And we also want to thank everybody who has been supporting this podcast by listening, sharing on iTunes and on SoundCloud and also on Stitcher. And also we like to thank everybody who has sent us tweets about the podcast on at Pesa Shio and at Whitney Shio.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We are super excited that we get the opportunity to share tips and share our stories with you guys. So thank you for listening. That's awesome.
Yes. And so what are we talking about in today's podcast?
So today I wanted to talk about two solutions for communication. There are obviously many, many more ways to solve communication issues, but today I wanted to go over two specifically.
And what are those?
So, well, I wanted to start by asking, how as a couple do you guys disagree when an issue comes up and you guys want to, you know, talk it out and find a compromise? How much do you let it escalate? Or are you able to just exchange your opinions in a way that is respectful and you just have great communication? That's what I wanted to talk about a little bit, because I'm noticing that for us, sometimes we might have certain issues that have keywords and the conversation might freeze.
I thought we don't have any issues.
We do. We have a lot of issues, by the way. We had some a few minutes ago, but I'll spare you the details. But there are certain keywords that when they come up, I've noticed that the conversation will just freeze. We'll just hit a wall. And so what I want to know is, what are some ways that we can just break through those barriers and continue talking in a way that doesn't make the problem worse?
But we're also making the assumption that we actually have to talk about the problem, right? Some things maybe they just are better if they are left alone.
That might be the case sometimes, yeah. But I think for the most part, it would be nice to have a technique that we can use to reach a resolution, though.
I see what you mean, but I also sometimes think, hey, what are the benefits of going over and over and trying to solve this issue if, after solving it, mm-hmm. what am I gaining out of mm-hmm. it? It's like penny wise and pound foolish.
Okay. Well, a lot of times what ends up happening is when a couple disagrees, typically there might be one person who is in the habit of just giving up. They yield. You know what I'm saying?
No.
They're like, okay, you know what? They might even ask themselves this question. They might even ask, okay, what's more worth it to me? Getting what I want or keeping the peace?
Keeping the peace.
When certain things come up, you can ask yourself that question. You can say, okay, well, what's more worth it to you? You know, getting what you want or just keeping the peace?
And sometimes you also have, I literally think about it like, hey, is it worth it for me to go down this path trying to prove mm-hmm. that I was right? I know I'm right. Is it worth it to prove, mm-hmm. to go down the path to prove that I'm right? Is it worth it to go to spend my half an hour trying to prove this? And right. then what am I going to get at the end?
Right. I know. And I remember what Dr. Phil used to say.
What did he say?
He used to say, well, would you rather be right or would you rather be happy?
Okay.
And so I think, I don't know, it's tempting. It's tempting to be right, but
yes.
But I know for the most part, I would rather be happy.
Okay, is it, I go back to what am I going to gain? And I use this especially when it comes to a business relationship. Like, I'm not saying this is a business relationship. I'm just saying, hey, there was a story of a client.
Okay, so the client did what exactly?
So there was a story where a client was trying to make a return.
Okay.
And the terms of the agreement was pretty clear that they had already passed the 30 days for returns, and there was no way they can get cash refund. They can only get credit for the merchandise.
Okay.
But this person was already known in the community for being a difficult client, and they were insisting that after 90 days that they should not, that they should get money back, and the vendor should take all the merchandise back. And the merchandise had already been used. So it was not even in the original container.
Okay.
So the issue was, the question was being asked was, what should the vendor do? Should she spend all the time trying to fight this guy who we already known that, we already know that he, that's all he does. Or, like, how much is her time worth? And not only her time, but her aggravation, like, how much does she want to put up with? Because at the end, she might prove that she's right. Because she's already right.
Okay.
The law is on her side. The paperwork is on her side. She made it very clear to begin with that the terms of the agreement were very clear from the beginning. But this guy is still going 90 days later, coming back and wanting to get a refund. What should the person do?
So the business owner should be taking into consideration, okay, do I want the reputation of just making my customers happy, or should I lose money on this deal and accept the return when it's too late? So is that the issue?
The issue to me, the issue to me is, you have X amount of days or X amount of years to live in this earth. That's all you have.
Oh, okay, so you're looking at the way big picture.
So I am looking, I'm like, how, like, what should I do here? Should I spend my time? Because it's not so much about the time you're spending on this issue, but the aggravation and the just the feeling of, like, it's stewing in your mind over and over and over and over and over.
Okay.
Or should you just say, you know what? I know this whole deal, it's $100.
Right.
We are talking about $100 here. We are talking about $50. I don't know.
Something small.
Yeah, whatever. So, should I just take the merchandise and release this guy from my life and learn my lesson, take it as an experience that I'll never do with this guy again, and move on? Or try to prove that you are right, because you're already right. We already know that.
Yeah.
Try to prove it to a guy who is already crazy. We already know that he's crazy. That's why he's doing this.
Right.
And end up wasting a lot of time, and at the same time wasting a lot of, like, having so much aggravation. This can take, like, days and months of aggravation.
So you're suggesting that if you know your spouse is crazy, just keep quiet and just let them have what they want.
No, I'm not saying that. This is going to be a case-by-case scenario. But I'm just saying, in this business.
Analogy is showing that if something is petty, if it's small, then just let it go.
Just look at the big picture and say, is it worth it? Is it worth your time? Is it worth the aggravation? And is it, do you really want to spend the time that's left in your life rehashing this nonsense that in the major scheme of things doesn't really matter?
Okay. Wow, that was a really deep example. It took me a while to get it.
Huh?
Okay, so yeah, if the issue is small, then just let it go. Don't keep digging into that. Okay.
You can be good at saving pennies and you are losing dollars.
Okay, sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I wanted to go over is, false accusations hurt. And you might be saying, okay, Whitney, that's really random. How did you come up with that right now? The reason why I'm bringing that up is because a lot of times a discussion can turn into a disagreement. And then one thing leads to another. And if it goes downhill as fast as some of our disagreements do, it's not fun. Someone might throw an accusation like, hey, you said blah, 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 blah. Or you did blah, 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 blah. And then the other person is like, no, that's really not true. That's not how I really feel. That's not true. So what I want to suggest is when that happens, let's honor what the person says when they express that, hey, that's not true. That's not accurate. We can start by that. Just, okay, fine. That's fair. I'll just take your word for it. If that's not what you really did, or if that's not what you really feel, or if that's not what you actually said, or that's not what you meant, I'll respect that. I'll just honor that. So okay. We can move on to the next part of the conversation.
Okay.
That's something me and you can practice too. Because we're all in the same boat, guys. We all need, it's true. So that's just an idea. And then the second idea that I had was when you're having a disagreement on whatever the issue is, you can listen carefully to what your spouse is saying. Don't jump to conclusions. And this is easier said than done. So listen very, very, very carefully. And try to hear exactly what they're saying, exactly what their concerns are, and then respond in a way that is not insulting, and respond in a way that actually shows them you heard what they meant.
But, you know, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
If all couples were living in a lab,
mm-hmm.
where everything is perfect,
mm-hmm.
and they're just having an argument,
mm-hmm.
and at the same time they're just listening carefully.
Yes,
because I mean, why are they even having an argument? So, they're having an argument because they are disagreeing.
That actually brings me to my next idea, which is your parents were probably the role models for communication when you were growing up. And that's true for all of us. So if our parents were not very good at communicating, chances are we might not be doing it very well either. But the good news is communication is a skill that you can learn. So when I say, oh, listen carefully and then respond carefully, that's a habit that can be formed over time. That's not something that we will just automatically start doing perfectly,
you know,
out of nowhere.
According to the Webster Dictionary, it says an argument is an exchange of diverging or opposite views,
mm-hmm.
typically a heated or an angry one.
Okay.
So if somebody is in a heated or an angry exchange of diverging views,
mm-hmm.
the idea that somebody will sit there nicely and listen, they're already mm-hmm. in a heated exchange of
mm-hmm.
opposite and typically diverging views.
But see, the thing is, it doesn't necessarily have to get to the point of being heated, though. It doesn't have to. You can have opposing views mm-hmm. without letting anger come into the picture.
But for it to be an argument,
that might be the definition on paper, but in real life, I mean, we can control our decisions. We can control our actions.
Yes.
So someone can tell me their opinion, and I might not really agree with it, but in a way, I can still talk to them in a way that is respectful.
Okay.
And honors where they're coming from. Because the truth is, we will all have our own point of view, or we wouldn't be our own person.
Yes.
So what I'm trying to, when I mentioned earlier about, you know, how much do you let things escalate? That's really what I was alluding to. I meant, okay, well, when you're not agreeing, how quickly does the anger slip into your discussion? Because, and then that's why I also brought up the issue of, you know, sometimes for us, we'll just hit a wall. We'll be like, okay, I give up. This is pointless. You know, we're both just talking about the same thing over and over again, and nobody's giving in.
Yes.
Nobody's giving up. Yes. So we're just going to walk away from this issue. But the tension is still there when that conversation comes up the next time. So what I'm saying is, don't get trapped in that habit of just letting it escalate to a point where people get mad. You know, just try practicing exchanging your ideas, exchanging your opinions in a way that it's a win-win for both of you.
Yeah, it's a win-win for both of you.
Yeah.
And something that has really helped me at the end of the day, it's the idea that remember that you're always on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that just takes a mm-hmm. lot of... It actually makes a lot of arguments don't make sense, because mm-hmm. if we are on the same team,
right,
why are we fighting? Or we should be on the, we are on the same side. It's like, if you win, I'm winning.
Right.
If I win, you're winning. So you need to give up your point, right?
And I, well, no, see, the thing is, I really love that example, and I'm so glad you brought it up. We've talked about it before, mm-hmm. but I love bringing it up again, because the truth is, when you're playing on a team, you either win points together or you lose points together. Yes. There's no, you can't win against someone that you're on the same team with.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. It always yeah. makes sense to me. And actually, I've used this many times
mm-hmm.
when we are having a disagreement mm-hmm. that we're on the same team. And also, I had brought up the issue of using the word, which is the word, which is argument.
Mm-hmm.
If words have meaning,
mm-hmm.
and to some people, the word argument might mean pretty much nothing. To some people, it's a big deal. But I like to use the word misunderstanding, or we just don't see eye to eye. Not that we are not arguing, but I feel like words like, oh, it's just a misunderstanding,
mm-hmm.
or you don't see what I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
or it's we don't see eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
Words like that take the fight down a few notches.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have a couple of friends who always tells me, oh, we are always fighting. We are always fighting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, bro, words like we are always fighting make it to be a big deal. And he's like, mm-hmm. yeah, dude, it's a very big deal. We are always fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And when he explains to me, that is something that I would have said, it's a disagreement. Or mm-hmm, we don't mm-hmm. see eye to eye.
Mm-hmm.
So by taking it down a notch, by calling it something that, by calling it something a different name, you are actually removing the power out of
mm-hmm.
that thing. So it's not a fight anymore.
Yeah.
Now it's just a disagreement.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a fight anymore. It's just we don't see eye to eye. We don't see eye to eye for me
mm-hmm.
makes it something that I can mm-hmm. work on.
Yeah. And you know what, guys, another thing that I've learned just in life and after 13 years of being together is there are more than one way to solve problems. Totally. I mean, both people can actually be correct
yeah.
at the same time on the same issue. And And when I used to be stuck in viewing things as black and white, there was never a gray area for me in anything in life. That was actually a tough time. That was pretty much all through my 20s. I was very stubborn. But once I figured out that actually both of us can be right because we're looking from different angles. Mm-hmm. We're looking from a different perspective. And there is also more than one way to solve a problem.
Yeah.
So he can be right and I can also be right. And you know, on certain things, we can probably implement both of our strategies. We can probably approach it, you know, with ideas from both of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's great, too. When you feel like there's some flexibility, that also can ease the tension as well.
And just to reiterate that issue, I had talked before about the words you call a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had gone to a meeting and there were two sides and it was a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And one side, they had lawyers and everything. And they were like, they were all lawyered up. And they were like, there's a lot of problems here. This contract cannot happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other side, they were like, oh, there are a few points which we can iron out. There's just a few points we need to iron out.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see one side is calling it a few points we need to iron out.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like something we can deal with.
Mm-hmm.
While this other side was calling it, there are so many problems, this deal cannot go through.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? The deal went through, not because of the quote-unquote problems, because there was people were able to iron out
mm-hmm.
these few points. It was
right.
all, one group is saying, oh, few points. We're just few points we need to iron out. It sounded like they can actually deal with
mm-hmm.
it.
Like it's solvable.
If it's solvable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, this is just a few points we need to iron out.
Uh-huh.
Or the other side was like, oh my goodness, this deal is not going to work.
Uh-huh.
There's just so many problems.
Oh, so the other side even probably felt like they were trying to mess them up
yeah.
then. Yeah.
Yes. But eventually the problem, the whole deal was made. They made the deal because one group was calling it problems. I was able to pick up
mm-hmm.
on those things.
Uh-huh.
Because when you call it points that you can iron out,
right.
it gives you that feeling that you can take care of this.
Right, like you guys are bigger than the problem that
yeah.
you're facing. Right.
So, in a marriage, you can use words like that
mm-hmm.
to give you that power
mm-hmm.
and that feeling that you can deal with it.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because you could even bring it up when you're having a talk. You could say, you know what, we really are bigger than this issue
yeah.
that we're facing right
yeah.
now. And I'm pretty sure that we can get this taken care of,
yes.
you know, in a way that works for both of us.
Yeah.
And just as we said earlier, you know, communication really is a skill that you can acquire.
Yes.
You can learn it, and you can learn to have conversations that work out for the best in your household.
Yes.
Each couple can decide, you know, hey, let's figure out what works for us.
Yes.
It might not be what works for other people, but
what works for
us.
If
this is something that helps us, then hey, let's go with that.
So now there would be a time where all these things we are talking about are not working, and now you are finding
mm-hmm.
yourself in one of those heated conversations, like
mm-hmm.
Maybe it's something to do with how to raise kids,
mm-hmm.
or something to do with should we get another kid?
Oh yeah.
I know. But you know what I'm saying? Like, oh,
right.
What daycare should we use?
Right.
Should we really even have a daycare? Should
yeah.
we have,
yeah.
What should we do in terms of
mm-hmm.
financial issues?
Yeah.
And sometimes these things can get really, really, really heated. What should we do at that
they
time?
They can. They really can. Like, we know a couple that the wife wants to quit eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband is adamant that they should not stop eating meat. And that might sound like a small thing, but really that's huge. I mean, so when it's time for them to start preparing their grocery list or start thinking about what they're going to cook for dinner, I mean, that's probably a big thing that comes up for them.
So what should they do?
I honestly don't know what they should do, but I'm confident that there are ways that those issues can be solved.
Yes.
I mean, if both people are willing to bend a little bit, I think everything is figure outable. And I like to use that word because it just reminds me that as a couple, you can decide from the get-go, hey,
mm-hmm.
we are bigger than any problem and we can handle this.
And you know, at this moment, the wife is thinking that he doesn't listen to her and what she's talking about is not important.
Right.
And the husband,
right.
I think he's thinking like, you know what, I am not going to quit eating meat. She's not
right.
going to tell me what to do.
Yeah. And you know what, that also brings up, I think in this whole communication thing, that can also bring up the subject of empathy.
Okay.
Because another thing I wanted to bring up is the traditional marriage roles according to gender just don't work at all.
Why do you say that?
They don't. Because the sooner a couple can get past that, the better.
Yes.
Like, for example, when you experience a situation in the other person's shoes,
yes.
you're able to empathize with them a lot better. And that's something that we've witnessed in our marriage for sure. And I'm just so thankful that we've been able to kind of, I don't know, how would you say, we haven't really traded roles exactly, but we've definitely been sharing a lot of the same responsibilities recently
yeah.
because you just became a stay-at-home dad.
Yes.
And so we run our business together as husband and wife, and we're both taking care of our kids during the day as well. So we share so much, but the way things were before, it was really tough for us to explain to the other, like, hey, I'm going through this issue right now, or can you help me with this? It was harder to understand where the other one was coming from. That's, yeah. I mean, really. But now it's like, okay, we're both changing diapers. We're both trying to help our clients. We're both, I guess the main word here is share. Yeah. But my whole point is, when you're able to kind of switch sides a little bit and just experience what your spouse goes through, it's a lot easier to empathize with them. And then, so when they do bring up an issue, the communication is way easier.
Yes, this.
You just get it.
Yes, it's way easier. And another thing for me that really worked for me is the understanding that the gender roles was something that were made up by somebody who I don't even know.
Right.
And it was supposed to be working for them.
Right.
It doesn't have to work for me. So right. What I need to do is I need to also to come up with my way that will work for me and my family. Because
exactly.
The person who came up with these gender roles,
like
who's supposed to cook, who's supposed to change the diaper, who's supposed to bring in the income,
yeah, who's
whatever.
Supposed to work. Yeah.
They were done because they were working. That worked out for some other dude some other time. It's a good thing to look at what's working and what's not working in your own family and then decide what to do. Because we cannot take this as a, what do you call it, the sacred cows? Nothing is a sacred cow. Like, you just try to figure out what works for your family.
Yeah, you definitely should not feel like you have to adopt a certain system just because that's what the culture says or just because someone else said that's the best way. If I mean, I encourage couples to just figure out what works best for their household.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest thing to do.
Like, case in point, we were having an issue with grocery shopping. And I don't like grocery shopping. And with the kids, it becomes a big pain to go and buy this stuff from the grocery store. And this is done every week. So we found out that you can actually go and do the online grocery shopping and just go to the store and pick it up.
Just pick it up and be done with it.
Pick it up and be done with it. So not only has that saved that a lot of time, but it also works out for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have other family members, our extended family members, who are saying, are you kidding me? How can you do that? How can you let somebody pick your groceries for you? But
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, how can you be sure that they're going to give you the good produce?
Yes.
Or, oh my gosh, how do you know that they're not just picking up the first thing off the shelf? They need to get things from the back. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
So for them, that's a big deal.
Right.
For them, it's a big deal
right.
that everything that they pick up from the store has to be from the back of the shelf.
Yeah.
And they have to touch their produce. That is a big deal for them. For
yeah.
my family, it's not such a big deal. For my family, we are looking for the ease.
We care more about, yeah, the convenience matters a lot to us.
Not what position of the shelf we are picking up the stuff from.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not that picky.
Yes.
But we're picky about saving time though.
Yes.
So
that's a big deal for our family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For other people's family, it might not be a big deal.
And some people might even enjoy going shopping.
Yes.
I think actually I know some people who do.
And
so.
I don't. And
yeah.
we don't. So it's so important to see what's working for your family and just try to make it work for your family. So going back to what we are talking about in this podcast, everything we are saying here does not have, you don't have to take everything we are saying here and just literally just slap it in your family and use it. No. See what will work.
Yeah.
Get ideas from it.
Yeah.
Bring up your creativity. And then maybe you can get an idea on how to tweak some things in your life to make it easier. But you don't have to take everything verbatim.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Of course not. Yeah, find what works for you guys.
Find what works for you guys and then try to use it.
Absolutely. So just to recap, I just want to encourage everybody out there to, you know, just look for a win-win situation for both of you, something that's going to work in, for everybody's benefit. And you know, you will disagree. I mean, chances are you will, because that's just part of being alive. That's yes. part of living in the same house with another person. But it doesn't have to be tough. It really doesn't. You can actually just, you know, keep looking for ways to make it easy for both of you, and don't get trapped in that habit of, oh my gosh, you know, we're gonna have to delay this discussion about this certain issue because every time we talk about it, we fight. No, you guys can actually find a way to, you know, get through that and solve it.
And also, just to recap from my end, and this is something that has really helped me out, is weigh everything before you start the argument. That does not mean you are not right. You might still be right, but you are looking at it like, is it worth it?
Mm-hmm. So what's more worth it to me? Yes. Being right or keeping the peace?
And this is not about being a doormat.
Or getting what I want. Do I have to get what I want every time?
Yeah. No, I don't have to. And this is not about being a doormat, but it's just about looking at is how important mm-hmm. is this thing to me? And what's mm-hmm. more important to me? Yeah. The peace or...
Are we even going to remember this 5 years from
most
now?
Most likely you won't.
And probably not.
And if for those of you who have been married for longer than a year or who have dated for longer than a year, you know a lot of arguments, unless you have a wife who has a super great memory, most of the arguments you won't remember.
Why do I feel like that was directed towards me?
Because you're so smart.
Because it was. Yes. So yeah, that's totally okay. So anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back again later. We're super excited because we're going to be recording another one very soon about the greatest strengths versus greatest weaknesses in marriage.
And also remember that you can always find the Live Your Best Marriage podcast on SoundCloud. And now we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and any place where you go, and also TuneIn. So you can always find us there. And our website is still liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog. And our Facebook is facebook.com/liveyourbestmarriage. Until next time, God bless and take care.